everyone here. This is meant to be a meeting for all of the NorCal leading ones, just as we practice on Wednesday, on Monday night. And we will again this coming Monday night at 7 o'clock with Brother Minoru from 7 to about 8. This coming Monday. And we will hear from Brother Minoru. He has said he would join us a little after 5 this afternoon. So we have a wonderful opportunity to hear his ministry twice in 4 days. And we really, but more important is that we are all together here in the fellowship of the churches in Northern California. We have to keep a schedule pretty closely because of the time. My suggestion is, if you don't mind, that we would maybe take a little time to pray over Acts 9:31, which I will shortly display. And then at 4:15, we will start with the reports from the churches. We have three churches, Sacramento, San Jose, and Berkeley, to share not only what goals they have, but even what progress or even issues they've had in meeting those goals to go on with the pursuing the Lord in a definite and positive way.
Amen.
Afterwards, we plan to hear from the different working groups for Northern California, such as what we call a GTCNC, which is the GTCA for Northern California. So we have that and a blending and propagation groups to share a little something about what progress we've been making, looking at the Lord's move in Northern California as a whole. And then after that, we will hear from Brother Minoru. So we have a very full time, and we hope that all of us can really be enriched in a blending time of all of Northern California.
Amen.
So if you don't mind, I believe I can do this, right? I will share the verse, and we can have a good enjoyment of that maybe for the next 5 minutes or so.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, brothers, at this time, we will have three reports from three churches about their progress and their goals and their progress, having worked on something for the last few months. I believe it's, is it Sacramento first, and then San Jose, and then Berkeley? Is that right?
Amen.
Amen.
How much time?
10 minutes exactly. I'm sorry to say we will have to be strict on this matter because of the timing involved. So you have only 10 minutes. We hope that's clear.
Amen.
Okay, the church in Sacramento, the brothers met 3 times in January 2021, and finally, after much prayer and fellowship, we came up with our plans and goals for 2021. Okay, Alex, next slide. Okay, we keep track of our attendance on the Lord's Day morning meeting. So in 2019, we had about 56 for English-speaking saints, and Chinese 32, and Spanish 6, with a total of 94. And this, I have to make a note of it, because this number is the physical in-person meetings. These are the statistics for in-person meetings. And in 2020, our meeting was conducted since like February last year, and they were all conducted online. And we had about 80 for English-speaking saints, which includes about 8 saints from Roseville in meeting in Folsom District. And we had about 37 Chinese-speaking saints and Spanish 5, and with a total of 122 on average. These attendance numbers have excluded the the numbers, you know, outliers, like saints went to a conference and saints come to Sacramento for a monthly blending meeting. We took those numbers out. And our 2021 goal is 20% increase. For English speaking is 96, and for Chinese speaking is 44, and Spanish is 6 again, and with a total of 146. And this is the brother's burden in January after much prayer and fellowship. Alex, next slide. Okay, go ahead, Hugh.
So we have 8 districts, and there's the attendance and the language for each of the districts. I think that's good enough. Just go ahead, next slide. So what we have about 10 to 12 brothers that are responsible brothers that meet every Lord's Day evening to pray and fellowship. And we came up with these goals, mainly stressing the personal goal for each saint in the church in Sacramento to go to the Lord and ask him to give them at least five people who they could do 2 things for: pray for regularly, and this is very important, be willing to contact those people. So if they're going to pray for them but not contact them, they shouldn't be one of the 5. So we want people who we can pray for, but then make contact with, so that we can always have our prayers for them up to date. And then we listed for the saints different kinds of people they could list before the Lord, let him choose which the 5 are to give top priority to. And then in addition to that, we have some district goals where we've got a project going on at Alpha House that we've started to mix the districts together to go up and work at Alpha House. And we're looking for opportunities to blend the saints together between the districts. And our just to reiterate again what Joseph said, our church goal, we believe it's not, it's possible that we could increase 20% in this year, because mainly we've gotten ourselves, through COVID, we got ourselves out of the meeting hall and we're into smaller groups now. And in spite of COVID, we've been increasing. So I think it's because we're breaking up into smaller family size groups that are much more able to receive new ones and to take care of them together. Next. Okay, Alex, go ahead.
Amen. Well, it's good to be with you, brothers. My name is Alex Gonzalez, for some of you that do not know me. It's my first year serving on the campus team in Sacramento. I'm not a player coach, but with the fellowship with Brother Nat and David, I hope I can, in this brief presentation, just bring the burden of the campus work here. So in Sacramento campus team, we have a full-time team of 6. 3 of them are recent graduates from the full-time training about 1 year ago. And these graduates of the full-time training are also Sac State alumni. And so I feel, including myself, I am a Sac State alumni. I feel like that has been such an opportunity, a gateway to be able to contact freshmen to relate to them in that level. So with that, we have 11 freshmen that we've reached through just through Instagram, through sending messages. 11 freshmen and 12 non-freshmen are meeting with us at least once a week, 3 of which are church kids. And so if you look at this picture that we have here, we have Kyra Bernaldez, freshman, Richard Thorpe, Krissa, Enosh is a church kid that has been with us, graduating senior, and also considering the full-time training. Jonathan Brajas, Luke Honeywell. Here's one student that is not in California. He's all the way up in Washington, but he's still got connected with us through Instagram and still meeting with us through our small groups. Maybe for time, I should continue. So here's a picture, a little snip of our large group meetings. We've kind of just revamped and called it Solid Ground, and we're actually following the same ministry line as the campus work in Austin. And so we've been using that during our Solid Ground meetings. And moving on. So our work on just focusing on the freshmen is to build up credit with them so that we have a trust with them. And so that might come in the form of some of these events that we've been having. The one on the top left is a snow trip that we did with the campus, full-time serving sisters and local saints visiting freshman students at their work. And then here's the picture of Richard, a freshman, and he's entering into the local saints' homes. So some saints have shown a burden in just opening up their homes to provide a dinner, to provide a meal, and also a place where we can enjoy watching the large group meeting together. And then on this picture, sorry, brothers, I know it's a little small, but we have Richard, same person right here. Praise the Lord, he was just baptized 2 weeks ago. Hallelujah. And Kyra right below also has been baptized. So we were praying for three, and we received six. And so, hallelujah, praise the Lord. So just to conclude here, we have our goals. Our goals are to introduce them to the ministry. That has been through Solid Ground meetings and also through our small groups. We've been slowly introducing them to the footnotes, the Recovery Version Bible, and also to some excerpts of the ministry. To help them develop life practices by enjoying morning revival with them. Bringing them into the church life by having definite connections to community saints. And so as you've seen in the previous photos, we're really trying to be a bridge to the saints' homes and to bring the saints into function. Involving them in service. Two services we've brought into the semester is a social media outreach. We realize that through Zoom, through this quarantine, we've had to rely more on social media. And so we're trying to involve the students in that. And also through this other group called Prayer and Planning. Well, it looks like I might be out of time, but another gateway that we've had is we've had some freshmen that entered in last semester are now interested in corporate living. So we're hoping that this would be a gateway into the church life. Amen, brothers.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to go through this quickly, very quickly. And we have been approved for a federal grant for $100,000 to clear up 60 acres of our forest land, and this give us a very good blending opportunity. So we are dividing into different districts and groups, and also Central Valley churches to go up to have a half a day or one day blending and do some cutting of the branches and burn them and in the meantime, have lunch together. So we have that increased the blending opportunities with all the area churches. Amen. That concludes our presentation, I think. Yeah, these are the blending groups for the forest clearing project.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I guess no time for any response, huh? Or Q&A. Should I just go on?
Go on.
Okay. Amen. Well, that was so encouraging. So good to see the church in Sacramento advancing in so many facets of the church life, especially on the campus team. And Alpha House, which I've been to many, many times with my family and very much enjoyed it. Okay. So I'm going to share, let's see, hopefully I can find the right one. Please let me know if you can see it in presentation mode.
Yeah, it looks good.
Okay, great. And then I need to go to look at my speaker notes too, so excuse me. All right. Okay, so San Jose, we've been around for a long time. We were first established in 1971. And now we average around 170 on the Lord's Day with meetings in three languages. If you count the number of saints that comes around, you know, once a month, once in a while, or, you know, you could think of them as saints in the small groups, that's much higher. We have closer to 300, 280 across the three languages, probably 140, 150 English, 60 Spanish, and 70 Chinese speaking. In 2008, we established a campus team for San Jose State. They started with a six-month apprenticeship in Austin. And that team has evolved over the years. And we now have seven full-timers serving. We have Brian Choi, Orlando and Elizabeth Montoya. We have Anatole Tsang, Paul Chen, who I see is David Chen's younger brother and David serving in Sac State, I think. And we have Perla Cabanillas and Rebecca Chen. These are our full-timers. And in addition to San Jose State, they've also recently, in the last couple of years, expanded coverage to UC Santa Cruz and Spanish-speaking work and also other aspects of the church life starting to integrate into, you know, we think of it as a kind of full campus team 2.0, young families, young working saints, young people, they're starting to get more involved there. And then also working with other localities on nearby college community colleges like West Valley. And in the last 5 years, we supported the establishment of the churches in Milpitas and also the church in Morgan Hill. And here on the right, you'll see the districts that we have under each language and the number of small groups under each language. In terms of direction, we had a lot of fellowship based on the past brothers trainings and our prior plans, how it worked out or didn't work out. And we felt like that there are many directions we could go, many focuses we would go on. But we felt like this matter of twos and threes, if we could just take care of this matter, then actually many of the other areas of need would be met organically in the church life through the twos and threes and small groups. And the reason is, you know, we talked about transitioning from meeting center to people center church life for many, many years. But without this kind of emphasis on twos and threes at the cellular level, what we end up doing is often promoting more meetings and promoting attendance to the various kinds of meetings. You know, sometimes there's a need. Oftentimes there's a pain point. There's a need. What do we do? Let's start a new recurring meeting, right? Let's have a new meeting to address it. And we felt like if we could to develop this matter, it can do a lot to strengthen the mutual encouragement, perfecting and building up. And we felt like this would enrich the church life. It would increase our relatedness in the church life. You know, throughout the week, outside the meetings, we can have a little text here, a little prayer there, right? Interaction short and long. We become a real family, more of a normal. You know, there are abnormal, dysfunctional families that never talk, right? But, you know, we can become a normal, communicating, functional family. So in terms of goals, we set the goal without any thought, any survey that we would, by the middle of the year, have half the saints participating in something like this and
maybe 3/4 of the saints by the end of the year. And we did a survey at the beginning of the year. At that time, with many repeated reminders, we got the response we got was around 25%. So we thought maybe that's our baseline. Maybe our baseline of saints participating in the twos and threes is probably 25%. But now we there's some informal checks in the English and Chinese speaking. And we felt that the participation today is closer to 60%. But we'll do a more formal survey middle of the year and end of the year. We did present this burden to the saints. Who can they have this with, right? And it's not rigid. It can be with any sector, cross-section of saints that we're related to in the church life. And then... okay, so then we also kind of convey to the saints a development of twos and threes, right? First, who should be in it? Yes, it can be all the saints, but, you know, if you're married, probably your spouse should be part of your twos and threes. If we cannot pray with our spouse, then probably our church life, our progress in the church life will be quite limited. And so... you know, we want some sort of companion prayer. And if we can enjoy the Lord and the word and the ministry in this way, then we can progress to pray for the Lord's need and move with him to intercede for others, to visit, to speak the gospel. And we feel like this is happening. This is our observation. There are many cases of twos and threes that's being built up in the various groups. And we see them, my own twos and threes included, and my wife as well, right? We're picking up a burden for other saints, other young families. We have a burden to pray for them, to consider the situation and to visit them. And so that brings us to the next goal, which is up to have a 15% annual increase. We feel like, you know, we have 170 on average. If a good portion of these saints, since they're everyone knows someone, right? If they can develop these twos and threes and develop the burden to reach and contact people, then that can reach a good category, many categories of people. There are challenges, right? In San Jose, our challenges currently are more along the various types of young people, young families with parents working, demanding jobs, and they have young children. It's been very challenging to set patterns and to help them to still be fed by the Lord and enjoy the church life in the midst of everything that's going on. Young working saints, we do have a number of young working saints, probably not as many as San Francisco or the kind of north localities further up north, but you know we have some and many of them are just. They're just lukewarm in the church life. They're just not, yeah. They're not fully in. And you know it's a reflection of our testimony. It's not that prevailing to burn the other young saints, and also it's not that prevailing to attract the many excellent local, you know, the people that moved here to work. Third category is college saints. I think we our campus team, they've done a good job over the years getting new ones. Many of them are seeking Christians, very seeking Christians. But there's so far there just hasn't been a great. We do get people that stay in the church life. You know, maybe what one or two a year, something like that. But there's just not a tremendous container yet to transition the large numbers of contacts that we have solidly, predictably into the church life each year. So we really hope that through the building up of these twos and threes, we can have an organic revival to bring in the increase. That is all we had for today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers. It's good to have the fellowship with all the churches. Larry, can you share? So I'm just going to give a quick intro, some background on the church in Berkeley. Next slide. So the church in Berkeley was established in the early 70s. Last year, our average Lord's Day attendance of adults, not including young people or children, was about 164. We've had three districts total that were established well before the pandemic, several years before the pandemic. There's two English-speaking districts. There's the Main Hall District, which has about 55, and then the Library District, which has about 44. The Chinese-speaking district is about 65. The English-speaking districts were formed mainly by small group. It was not geographical at all. We've got about, in the children's meeting, we have about 24, praise the Lord, for the children. And on the right side of the slide, we have seven full-timers, all but one of them is serving on the, well, all but two of them are serving on the UC Berkeley campus. We have one, John Chen, John Liu, I'm sorry, who is serving with the Chinese speaking saints, and then Will Lay is on loan to Palo Alto. College students, we are in regular contact with about 66, and that's 47 from the churches. Not all of them are, by regular, we mean at least once a month. Not all of them are regular on the Lord's Day. And then 19 from that were contacted on the campus. So we're very happy to get so many church kids. Many of them come dive right in and labor. Others they all need nourishing and cherishing, but they come in different conditions in terms of their participation in the church life. But our hope is to contact them all and to minister Christ to them all. Then young people, we have 10, 6 regularly meet on the Lord's Day. And we recently started a senior saints meeting that's 60 plus. And we've got about 35 of saints in that category, and there's 10 to 15 meeting weekly over Zoom. And then of the saints that we have in Berkeley, 35 of them attend at least one term of the FTTA. Okay, next, brother.
So I'll share a little bit on the first goal, first of the three goals that we have for this year. Firstly, just related to Bible reading, we just feel like we want to make sure our saints are in the Word in a daily way and are being fed and supplied by the Word. So our goal is to have at least 50% of the saints reading the Word daily by the end of the year. So with this goal in mind, we created a church-wide Google sheet for saints to log their reading just every day. Just put a little check there if they touch the word that day. On the one hand, it's a accountability, but really it can be real encouragement. The more saints read, the more saints feel like they should be reading and they want to read. But also creates an opportunity for us to shepherd the saints, those who are endeavoring to read but are having difficulty. We have a way to follow up and shepherd and not be on top of them, but encourage them and maybe even help them. So we shared this burden with the whole church on a Lord's Day morning meeting in January 2021. We reshared this in February at a church-wide prayer meeting. And in our elders meeting on Monday night, we have some fellowship regarding the saints' progress, how to continue to help them and shepherd them and care for them in this way. And with our district brothers, we are continuing to consider just how to improve this, how to labor on this, and how to help the saints into the word in a day-by-day way. So as I mentioned before, our goal is to have 50% of the saints reading the word daily by the end of the year. to this, to help facilitate this. We also want to create opportunities for the saints to overflow their enjoyment. The more they flow out, the more they want to, there's an atmosphere of reading the word, and the more they want to be in the word. And we've had some opportunities for that. So we've had sometimes responsible ones reporting their enjoyment of their, to encourage others to read. We've had small groups group themselves together on the Google Sheet just to, for smaller scale, help with one another, mainly on the Chinese speaking side. I think Google Sheets don't work that well for them. So they've been using WeChat in a very good way, and other ways for sharing the progress with one another. The second goal that we have this year is related to the visitation and the shepherding of all the saints. Many years ago, our brother Minoru encouraged us, charged us, in fact, to visit the saints, every single one of the saints. So on the one hand, we did share this as a burden and a goal for all the saints, just to enter into a life of mutual shepherding based on the conference we had with Brother Ron last year. But we also took it upon ourselves and shared this with the district brothers that we all would do this, not just to check off that we've done this, but really to care for one, help them, and bring in an atmosphere of mutual shepherding in the church in Berkeley. So again, we presented this to district brothers in January. We created a visitation log for us to be able to assign ourselves to visit different saints on the phone list, so we can coordinate to see who's being covered and who's not being covered. We share this with all the saints in a general way, that we want to raise up an atmosphere of mutual shepherding in the church in January. And recently, earlier this month, we just had some further fellowship with the district brothers, just to refresh our vision, our burden, and to facilitate the coordination among the district brothers to carry this out. So our goal is, as others have mentioned, to build up a people-centered church life, impart a burden for shepherding, and also connect the saints to one another, that this would not just be top down, but would also be a real mutual shepherding among all the saints. Okay, I'll pass this off to Jeff O.
All right, so the third goal is to reestablish the church in Oakland. As many of you know, that Oakland used to have a church, but then since then, bought a meeting hall in Alameda, they become the church in Alameda. So September last year, when East Bay brothers came together to pray, somehow this burden of Oakland sort of resurfaced. And since then, a group of brothers start to pray together. And eventually, the feeling is that maybe the church in Berkeley should sort of take a lead on this move. And therefore, we brought back to a Berkeley brother, and early this year, we started to have a fellowship and consider how to do it. And since then, we first established sort of the sense in that area, and we found out there's about 35 cents actually in that area. Their condition very differently, and then we start to gather three district brothers to start to pray. We have a weekly time to pray and consider how to move on. And with a goal that we will have a proposal sort of early June this year, how to so start. And we also have a bi-weekly prayer time with the East Bay brothers together on this matter. And during this time, Scott Fanny, who is actively involved in this gospel to all the nations, also join us in this prayer. So we are actively consider how to labor with them together for this moving Oakland. And last month, we fellowship with the Berkeley District Brothers. And then early this month, we fellowship with the whole church about this burden. So for the goal, we will propose a 6-month plan during the June this year. And at this point, the focus is trying to build up the core sense to begin with. And since we already have a land list, we're also actively shepherding those existing sense and engage with, we're considering how do we engage with the other East Bay localities for this move in Oakland. So please pray for us. And also, if you know anyone, either the Saints or Gospel contact that live in Oakland or surrounding area, please refer to us. Amen. And that's it for this presentation.
Amen. Wonderful reports from the three churches. We thank all the brothers and churches involved for giving us a brief taste of what's being done, and we hope other churches can follow this kind of pattern of working out something for their localities. The different emphases may vary because of the local conditions, but everyone should be working on something. As you've seen, there is a variety, but they're working on something in a definite a specific way, as our brother Minoru has recommended. Now we will provide three more reports from three areas that cover all of Northern California. First is a matter of, we call it GTCNC, but anyway, it's laboring with mainly smaller localities to encourage the Saints to go on well, and that there would be a NorCal support for churches to develop and grow where the Lord has some way to advance strongly. Following that will be something on the matter of blending. We want to promote blending in all among all the Northern California churches. And following that is the matter of propagation, especially related to the propagation of the truth in the ministry. Following that, we believe we would have Brother Minoru join us to give us a word for all of us to enter into for further advance. Okay, we will have the Dustin Jaco, I believe, will give the word on the GTCNC.
Amen, brothers. Very, very encouraging report. Actually, really ties well into the burden that I will be presenting today, which is regarding GTCNC, Gospelized, Truthized, Churchized, Northern California. Hallelujah. So I'd like to just begin quickly with a verse, Philippians 2:20. For I have no one like souled who will genuinely care for what concerns you. For all seek their own things, not the things of Christ Jesus. And Brother Lee points out in the life study there that what are the things of Christ that he's talking about here? The things of Christ are the churches with the saints. And he also points out that some seek spirituality but have no concern for the churches with the saints, which is abnormal. And so I'm just really encouraged by this line of fellowship because it feels very balanced to care for the things concerning the churches. So with that, the burden for GTCNC is essentially that some brothers have burden to care for the smaller and distant localities. In that group, there are roughly 20 churches that have been considered by the brothers to meet that criteria, smaller and distant. And I have a lot of feeling for this because I live in one of those localities in Crescent City. In this kind of situation, it does feel like there's extra challenge, being that we're very small and there's a particular sort of critical mass that happens when the church meets a certain strength and also in numbers that can attract new ones, that things can happen. And when it's very small, very distant, it's quite hard to get over that hump. And so it's very touching that the Lord would open this kind of fellowship to care for these churches, to support them, to strengthen them. So that's the burden side of it. How we're carrying this out is the second point I wanted to bring up. And these brothers have given some time. So once a week, roughly, we meet together and just open to the Lord and pray and are blended. And I appreciated, you know, that word that Paul said, like souled. So we spend some time to just become like souled in our prayer and blending. With that, then we've reviewed these localities, which is very interesting to hear these three localities today, because essentially what we did was not to the same depth, but somewhat similarly considered each of these localities in all these aspects. With that, we considered where are they in their strategic value, in their spiritual assets, in the university situation, demographics, population, leadership strength. Some of these are the categories, and created a kind of a numerical system to help us understand kind of where we are, where each of these localities is. And I wanted to point out then how we're moving forward, how we're going to attempt to care for these churches. And the pattern that we're looking at is with Brother Lee and his shepherding of the churches in northern China. You can see this in the book, The Elders' Management of the Church, in chapter 11, where he talks about different, in the sense of saints. Now, he wasn't talking about churches, but saints. And he gave a numerical scale of up to 12, and 12 being very living and one being somewhat dead. And then he would consider with others in prayer, where are these ones and how can we help the tens become a 12? So he wouldn't start with the threes, for example. So he would start and try to raise them up to another level. So I would say, I hope I'm accurately representing the brothers, but that's sort of our focus, is to consider the churches that are about to really come on well, and how can we help them go forward? In that spirit, the first locality that we are considering, which is to help us learn this process and learn the best way that the Lord can help strengthen these localities, is Reno. So as you know, many of you know, Reno has quite a lot going on. There is a large move of the tech companies moving there. We even heard a report that Apple bought a whole entire block for, I think it was $1 billion, right there in downtown. Of course, there are other major companies there. There's also the University of Nevada, Reno, which is quite good, and a lot of money being invested there. Now, with that, real estate prices are going up, but there's a strong core of the saints there. There's a campus team. There are several brothers meeting together regularly in two different groups to care for the church. And there are small groups in which all of the saints are adequately cared for by the brothers and the saints there. So the consideration is, we will so-called cut our teeth on Reno to help us understand how to best care for these smaller and distant localities to strengthen the testimony of the churches there, and then eventually spreading that to the other 20 plus localities throughout Northern California. So I know that was a bit brief. Any other brothers have anything to add to that? Sure, I didn't miss anything. Amen. So that's it for GTCNC.
So we can go on to the matter of blending. I'm not sure which brother is speaking for that.
Brian, please go ahead.
Oh, okay. okay, so we've been meeting regularly once a week on Monday with brothers from all the different districts in Northern California. And we've been really enjoying the blending ourselves. And then we've been really getting into the burden of with the reading of Brother Lee's ministry. And the more we get into it, the more we fellowship, the more we sense that blending is really the way to build up the body of Christ. Blending is a necessity, and blending requires us to put an effort into it. So it's not always convenient, but we have to pay a price to be blended. Just like this afternoon, we're all here for what? To be blended together, not just to get some information, to hear some report, but the main thing is to be blended together. So quickly, I want to share a little bit about the South Bay, because that's where I met, how we've been blending in different levels. The first one is the blending through the conferences. I think with Zoom for the seven feasts, it's very convenient for us to be blended together. So recently, we just blended together through the Spring Iterum. All the brothers joined the Spring Iterum in the South Bay, all blended together, and we all studied together, share with one another, a wonderful time together. Then the second level of blending is the blending of the meeting brothers. We have a bi-monthly meeting for all the leading brothers and elders in the South Bay, and also a bi-weekly meeting for the burdened ones, more burdened, more brothers who have more time. We come together to spend more time to fellowship about the needs in the South Bay. Then we have the blending of the age groups. We have the blending of the young people. And recently, we have the blending of the young working saints. During the pandemic, we have this meeting every once a month with Brother Bob, and now Brother Don has been joining us. We have a good number of young working saints from different localities in the South Bay have been participating in this blending, and it's been very good. Of course, we also have blending of the church meetings through the Lord's Day meeting, prayer meeting. Some churches gather together for a gospel meeting regularly. And for last week and this week, this Lord's Day, we will also have a re-speaking blending meeting. So a good number of saints joined us last Lord's Day, and then we'll have another one this Lord's Day. And there is another thing that we are doing, we'll consider as the blending of the seeking saints. That is to have a true pursuit kind of program, meeting for the ones who want to get into the truth more, to be more constituted. So we hope that through all this blending, and we hope to even have more in the future, so that the whole district, the South Bay district, will be really not just a vision, but actually in practice, we are just one church, one body. So maybe James Shaw can share a little bit about blending with the church in Colombia.
Yes, brothers, Colombia is one of the 10 GTCA cities, and the South Bay churches pick up this burden to adopt Colombia as our city to support. And we actually arrived at this one accord, I think around the Thanksgiving last year time, when John Payne with his family decided to take the fellowship and migrate to Colombia. And they migrated promptly after that. And Brother John has been very faithful. Weekly, we'll get all the South Bay Church a brief update of the progress and prayer burdens. So first, we'll blend it in the burden through prayer. And I feel that it's quite a blessing, at least in Cupertino, where I know quite often the saints are encouraged. And through the progress the Lord is making, and also through receive in our prayer, actually that also strengthens our own going on in contacting people and increasing as well. Yeah. In addition to blending in prayer, the brothers feel that the brothers should first come together to blend. So monthly, I think the first Thursday, the two brothers in Colombia, John and the other brother, Rob, will blend with South Bay brothers who are available. Usually there are 5 to 10 South Bay brothers together in this time of fellowship, about 1 hour. And in this time, we are able to know some of the very wonderful details and have some prayer together. It's really, really sweet. And out of this time, we actually came up with this feeling that we should bring the churches the saints to blend together. But of course, to blend two churches, more than one, two churches across the time zone is difficult. But we came up with this feeling that we can send the South Bay Church, we can organically take turns to send two couples each Lord's Day to join their Lord's Day meeting, since now it's all on Zoom. So when they started, it's 10 a.m. So whoever sends who just pay a little price, and then I think everyone who joined it really, really got encouraged. And the Columbia saints also feel very shepherded and supported and strengthened. Actually, some of the brothers among us tonight, today, actually, they were in this kind of blending, and I know some of them, even in the spring break to their family to Colombia, even physically visited. And I feel this is so wonderful. So that burden of GTCA is not just something we see on the website or in the email notice. We really feel there's some building up and mutual supply through this kind of blending. Amen.
Amen. Is that, if that's all for the blending, then we would like to go on to the matter of propagation. And Brother Jim Miller will join us to fellowship about the matter of propagation, particularly regarding the truth.
Yeah, hi, brothers. I'm very, very burdened about this matter of the propagation of the truth, not only to the worldwide propagation, but to propagate the truth from my house to your house, to propagate the ministry we have received from the Lord, which is all-inclusive and wonderful. We all know that. But today, I was sometimes when we go out to visit the saints on this matter, we have a wonderful, enjoyable time fellowshipping, maybe just a little taste of this wonderful ministry. But I'm not so burdened to talk about that today, because today I'm talking to household slaves, right? Let me see hands for that. How many of you are a household slave today? Put your hand up on your... I don't even know how to do that. So, but saints, brothers, praise the Lord. Robert Liu is a household slave. Anybody else? Okay. Well, there's 91 potential household slaves among us. So, brothers, what does the Bible say that we, as household slaves, purchased by the Lord's blood and called to serve his household, what is our task? Your task and my task is to make sure everyone in the house gets fed, right? And that means you have not only the food there in your larder, I think that's what they call it, in your storage shed or in your refrigerator or on your shelves, or you know where to buy it. But you have to get it into their tummy, right? You have to get it into their mouth. And one thing we say from the hall where our book service usually is, to the home, which is where you live, to your heart. And that's really the big burden. But that requires household servants. And from our surveys and our experience in this burden for the past few years, I'm just beginning to realize that we need to take a very person-to-person approach to this. We need, I'd say right now, if you have in your heart, in your mind, a saint, maybe they're where they are on the scale from, I wouldn't say zero, because nobody's a zero if they're a saint, right? They've got at least they're going to start around one or two or maybe three and go all the way up to the top, hit the bell, right? Bang, you know, 12, and they're living, right? They're doing well. They're growing, right? And that's what my burden is for all of us. Brothers, we have been given, we have grown up, we've been born in a house that has the most wonderful food supply for the household of God. And yet that food supply needs to get into them. Now that's acknowledging that we've got more food than we ever had before in terms of the ministry, in terms of the recovery version of the Old and New Testament. Where's the missing link, I'd say? Where's the distribution channel? Where is the network, marketing network? And I think you look at yourself and say, I am it. I am a person who is serving the Lord full time. That doesn't mean when you drop your job and you go to the campus all the time. That means every day, every moment of your day, you are feeding on and you are dispensing out to the needy, to the hungry. They may not even know they're hungry, but they're not feeding daily in this, to say rich ministry is richest, the ministry of this age. Brothers, that's our job. That's our job description. Number one, and number two, it has a very good issue. If we brothers do that, we're rewarded. We're rewarded at the end of this age. Our master will say to you, well done, good and faithful slave, or diligent, faithful and diligent slave, right? So in other parables, the Lord talks about you've done well, you know. But here he's talking about the same thing. You did well. You're doing well if I find you feeding, distributing, dispensing the household riches to its members. So I just want to stress that each of us brothers, elders, responsible ones, learners, district brothers, whoever you may be here today, You are my target audience. you are commissioned, committed by the Lord to dispense, to feed, in whatever way they need and can take it, the riches of this ministry. And we brothers feel very definitely that especially the riches that can be found in the life study messages. And maybe as a suggestion, start with Genesis, or start with John, or start with Matthew, or start with the heart, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Brothers, it's all there. What's needed are some slaves faithfully distributing it to the needy saints among us. that is the greatest need. I'd say that's a primary need of all of us. Get yourself into the ministry and bring one other person into a love, appreciation, maybe even a little excitement for what he's found in this ministry, what he's been brought back to in this ministry. Just one. And from there, I believe the Lord will lead us to many, many others, and the Lord will lead them. So you'll have a co-worker. Amen. I just broke my limit by 1 minute, so I'll retire to my box and praise the Lord for this fellowship. Amen.
Amen. So, brothers, as you can see, we have brought about a very quick, very broad-based summary of what the churches in Northern California are doing. We have examples from three churches about the what they are doing to have goals that are suitable and fitting for their locality, and then the actual practical plans to implement ways to reach those goals. Everything is still a work in progress for all of us, but at least we can make the plan and work on it, and we believe the Lord rewards that due diligence. Then secondly, you can see three aspects of what we have been doing NorCal-wide, so that we are actually meeting the Lord's need in the broader area concerning the smaller churches to strengthen them and foster their going on in a healthy way. Particularly now we're centering on their church in Reno for now, and we expect to have a strengthening of further churches in the future. So it's not just a one-time thing, it will be ongoing. Secondly, for blending, as was pointed out, we have many ways of blending, not only from church to church, but also from the aspect of different age groups, different languages, different work-related activities, such as young people and so on. So we are actively engaged in bringing the church life into a blended church life. And finally, as Brother Jim has shared, it's indispensable that we have the proper food supply and that we give a proper attention to the matter that we are the stewards to make sure that every member is fed. If some child in your household is not fed, that is a shame to you. So we need to take heart to this matter, and with the overly abundant riches that we've been given, we should be making sure that no member is lacking in a food supply, and that we help them to get into it, or even in some cases develop an appetite for it, as Brother Jim has shared. Okay, we thank the Lord for all the brothers who have given this, and we hope that this is helpful and useful to all the churches and all the leading brothers to realize what the Lord is doing in his move here. Now we are thankful that Brother Minoru has joined us, and we are open to have him speak something, a word that we need to hear about how to go on together following the Lord.
Hi, brothers. Sorry, I just got on here and don't want to interrupt this flow in the meeting. In any way, I'm afraid of doing that. Just introducing yet another whatever line, and that's not good. I hope I'm building on the fellowship. The first thing I would like actually to share with you is something that touched me this afternoon. Of course, it is something there that is always there. but I'm just freshly inspired. And that is, as we are engaged in the Lord's work, the service, and laboring everywhere, the Lord placed us to build up the local churches, and especially in these days as we are really endeavoring to advance with the Spirit, you know, in all aspects of the church life and even beyond just a local church in our region and so on. All this requires, of course, an abundance of exercise and labor, to say the least. And so, when we are doing this, and I feel this word encourages me, and that is Psalm 127. It says, "Unless Jehovah builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless Jehovah keeps the city, the guard watches in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to stay up late, to eat the bread of toil. All the time he gives to his beloved while they sleep." So I'm not going to expound. I'm going to just read these precious footnotes that supplied me. This word, the first word, "unless Jehovah builds the house," you have this footnote. "Unless the Lord builds the church as God's house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord keeps the city," that is, keeps the church as the kingdom, "those who guard the church watch in vain." So it's just very self-explanatory. And I certainly find myself in these months and working very hard on both of these counts. Number one, on the side of building, right? Building the church, building the churches, building up the church life. And then on the other hand, keeping the city. Keeping the city, you may say building the church is the, how should I say, the offensive side, and keeping the church as the kingdom on the defensive side, if you will. And because this talks about guarding the church, this talks about watching, right? So this has to do with the defensive side. But for both of those two aspects of the work that we do, to strengthen the recovery and to protect the Lord's recovery, we have to do our part, of course, to build and to protect, you know, the Lord's interests. But the point is, either way, in this labor, eventually it's the Lord who does it. We at the end of the day are the unprofitable servants at best. If the Lord would not do something, really, we can be busy, we can be laborious, we can be, you know, hardworking and diligent, but what our work could be in vain if the Lord is not doing it. Of course, the Lord does it in us, with us, and through us, of course. This is the principle of incarnation. But still, at the end of the day, it is good to lift up our eyes to the heavens and say, Lord, unless you build, whatever we're doing, it just could be in vain. Unless you protect your recovery, we can run around to try to guard and watch the recovery. It will still be in vain. I think it's always good to be brought back to that realization as we are fulfilling our responsibility. And then in verse 2, footnote 1, that is the word for the word vain, the word vain. It says, if the Lord does not do anything for us, whatever we do will be in vain. We need to labor in the Lord and by his grace, but whatever result, but what the result will be depends not on our labor, but on God's care and blessing. Instead of toiling and striving in ourselves, we need to trust in him and rest in him, for he gives to his beloved even while they sleep. This brings to mind Matthew 11, where the Lord says, all you who toil and are heavy burden or laden, come to me and I will give you rest. If you go and read the footnote there, Brother Lee talked about this is a word for those who labor for the Lord, those who would do something for the Lord. And they become anxious, they work hard, they are short of rest. And so the Lord say, come to me, come to me. Brothers, I find that the more I work and labor and toil, the more I need to come to the Lord. You know, we can forget about that. You just get into a work mode, you know. You just get into that mode, and you're very faithful. But we forgot to come to him. And here, this is talking about our labor now. The first verse is to realize who really is the one doing the job. It's the anointed one himself. It's Christ himself, really not us. We should say that. We should tell the Lord that. Unless you do it, Lord, what I do is in vain. Unless you protect your testimony, whatever I'm doing is in vain. However, in this second verse is that we still have to do something, right? But we have to what? Realize that, number one, we must labor by grace. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. I labor more abundantly than they, you know, these other apostles. But it is not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So brothers, I just want to encourage you. This is such a sweet and encouraging verse. Learn to work by grace. Grace means there is an extra supply. There is a divine provision. There is it's the Lord supplying us and doing what we cannot do for us. And to labor with the Lord by his grace is an essential lesson to learn for all the serving ones and all the workers of the Lord. In other words, not by our own strength do we rely, but mighty Lord on thee. That means we work by grace, in the principle of grace. So the more we work this way, the more we experience an endless supply of energy from that divine source. And it seems even there are times that we were able to do the impossible, what is humanly impossible. We do, and like the apostles did. And that is surely not for us to boast in our natural ability or energy, but really we are, that's because grace is with us. So brothers, learn to operate and serve and work in your locality by grace. And also, not only that, but to realize whatever result that will come out of this altogether does not depend on our work. Well, this sounds very contradictory. We have to work hard, but the result does not depend on that. It depends on God's care and blessing. Really, on God's care and blessing. Your church, the saints, it all depends on God's care, the Father's care, and his blessing. What does that mean? That means we have to, again, look to the heavens to the source of blessing upon our work. We need to pray for the Lord to bless the labor of our hands. Just like the breaking of the bread and the loaves and the fish, the Lord look up to the heavens and bless and broke the bread. Such little amount of food eventually miraculously fed thousands. How can that be? How is that possible? That's because of God's care and God's blessing. So the result becomes much more than what you put in. The outcome is much more than what we put in. And that's actually the definition of blessing. Many times we just didn't know what happened. How come things are so good? How come the saints are so positive? Well, better not pat ourselves on the back. Better say it's God's care and God's blessing. And here it says, instead of our toiling and striving in ourselves, we need to A, trust in him, and B, rest in him. You know, when you work this way, you will learn to trust in the Lord's blessing and rest in him. That means to rest in his supplying grace. And here I like it. It says, for he gives to his beloved even while they sleep. That means while we are not working, he's still working. While we are sleeping, the true one who is working is still working on his own behalf and for us. And the last one is in 3:1. It talks about children are the heritage of Jehovah, the fruit of the womb, a reward. And I like this footnote also. Instead of striving without trusting in the Lord and still continuing that thought, we should simply be a good father producing children. There's a little pivot in the thinking here. We cannot gain much by our toil, but we can produce spiritual children. In addition to his caring for us, God blesses us with increase, with children. Increase does not depend on what we do. It depends on how much God gives. Both the care and the blessing come from him. Of course, the conclusion is the same, that it is all up to Jehovah. It's all up to God the giver. But I like this thought here that we really cannot do too much, this or that, you know. But one thing here we can do, and that's something the Lord wants us to do, is to produce children, some spiritual children, to have the increase. However, that said, it is still the heritage of Jehovah. It is still a reward of Jehovah. The fruit of the womb is still a reward from him. So, and certainly here is the burden for the increase. So, brothers, again, building the church, you know, protecting the Lord's testimony, you know, gaining increase for the Lord. In all these things, much labor is required. And yet, we really can encourage and comfort ourselves that really it's the Lord. It's really God who cares, who blesses, who supplies, who energizes, and who really at the end is the one who is doing the real work and caring and blessing us in the process. I didn't plan to say this, but I just feel so supplied and encouraged by the Lord so that I have to share that with you. This is not a psalm for a lazy person, okay? All right, if you're lazy and you just say, oh, it's the Lord, you know, you have no right to claim this psalm if you're lazy. This is for hardworking, faithful brothers. They deserve this psalm. They can enjoy this psalm. All right. The second thing is, because I heard that you were presented some plans, am I right? Several churches presented some plans. I would like to just underscore the need for planning. Now, this is something that is not a strong tradition among us in the recovery in this country ever since 1962. In the church life, among elders, there's not much really the thought about planning and projecting things and in an intentional way. But I would like to tell you there's one person throughout all of this busy planning. Well, it's God, okay? But it's called Witness Lee. While we are enjoying the life studies, he is planning the 23 years project to finish the life study. While we are here, hallelujah, and he is there laboring at 8 o'clock in the morning with Carrie Robichaud and whoever his helpers are to write those footnotes and outlines according to a schedule, because he has to finish it in X number of years through the semi-annual trainings. So it's up to this guy, this brother, to do all the planning for us. But he can only plan so much. That is, on the work side, on the ministry side, he cannot plan for the local churches, okay? Because he's not there. So the churches are unplanned, generally speaking, and unplanned. It is more hand to mouth. It is all more fighting fires. It is more, you know, meeting the latest need or following the latest flow. That's our kind of church leading and direction. So I am actually very, very burdened to change that culture. This, I'm talking about the leadership I'm talking about, right? However, I'm also cognizant that if we only plan, we can get into just like just a company, just a, doing a project, and you know what I mean. And that's absolutely not what I'm talking about. So I have this word, pray and plan. If you don't pray, don't plan, okay? And we also need to pray as we plan. In other words, there must be a divine element, right, in this planning, and not just, you know, all these kind of business execution and just in that realm. I hope that you are clear when I talk about planning. So I remember when we started to do this down here where I am years ago. Brothers, I tell you, the more we planned, the more we prayed. We didn't even pray so much like when we need to plan. That's a testimony. So not only planning did not distract us or, you know, replace the prayer and the spiritual side of things, it actually enhances and requires us to even pray more desperately. And so I hope this point is clear. Well, brothers, there's so many good and necessary things related to planning. And I mentioned this before to you, but let me just repeat some of these things. Number one, it forces you to have to inventorize your church. By that, I mean the human assets, that's the saints, the resources in your church, how many saints you have, how many brothers, how many sisters, how many, what age bracket, what even down to how many giving units. All these does not sound so spiritual, but I want to make a strong case with you. If you don't know these things, I don't know what you are doing in the church, leading the church. Give you an example, right? Luke 15, that shepherd, right? The three parables, there's the shepherd. He had 100 sheep and one is gone, you know, he's missing a sheep. There's only 99. Well, if it's me, I say, what's the big deal? I still have 99, you know? Actually, I wouldn't even say that. I don't even know how many I have. What's your flock size? Somewhere between 80 and 120. What kind of shepherd is this? The Lord, as the shepherd, counted 100 sheep. And he knew one was gone. Now, don't tell me inventorizing is not needed. I'm going to ask you, how many saints are in your church? Well, oh, somewhere around 100 to 120. I don't know. Depends on which week. And I say, what kind of leader are you? What are you doing? You don't even know your flock. You don't even know how many saints there are on paper. How many dormant, how many that are active. How many are on Lord's Day? How many are in your small group meetings? You have no idea. Really, that means you don't know your church, except in a very general way. So, brothers, this planning forces us to inventorize, to really know our church. Numbers don't lie. So, the Lord fed 5,000. Then the Lord fed 4,000. All right? And if he didn't have those numbers, he didn't know how to put them in companies, how to divide them up and distribute, you know, what I heard a little bit of what Jim shared, how to distribute the food. He wouldn't even know. No, I tell you, the Lord is very, very explicit, very, very careful in this matter. You say, oh, it's all a big miracle. Well, it is a miracle, but it is a planned miracle. Can I say that? Well, you say, well, it's the Lord's blessing. Well, it's the Lord's blessing. I didn't do anything. Well, that is miraculous blessing. But I tell you, the real blessing are miraculous plan, planned miracles. Planned miracles. I tell you, that is the right kind of miracles, with a plan. And then the Lord pour out. That is a planned miracle. We need a total shift in our concept, brothers, to not think this is worldly, whatever. No, this is not about being worldly. This is a necessity in taking care of your church and to build it up. So this is a positive and necessary. Second thing, in your planning, you are basically, you are, by virtue of the inventorizing, you're setting a baseline. You know a baseline? Everything has a baseline. And this baseline is useful, brothers, as a measuring point. As you go forward, how do you measure progress? How do you measure growth? Or how do you measure lack of growth? If you don't have a baseline, there must be a starting point. Must be a starting point. And so this is very, very important. Otherwise, you go to work. From what point do you start? Where is your baseline? Well, we want to gain increase. Okay, that's wonderful. I'm for that. But what does that mean? I want to gain increase. Then you say, we have 50 people. And next year, we want to have 70 people. Oh, got it. You want to increase by 20 in a year. So suddenly, all this what becomes very, very useful, necessary, right? This information that you have and setting up a kind of a baseline to, you know. And then thirdly, I would say this baseline is good because you can keep coming, come back to it. So let's say in the beginning of the year, you set a baseline. 6 months later, you come back and look at it and say, oh, this is where we are. This is where we are. Or a year later, actually, we really need to do planning at least once a year, if not every 6 months. And that baseline helps you to know where you were and where you are today. Very important, brothers. And when I say baseline, that is not just numbers, you know, of the saints and in the meetings. There are many things. How many saints are serving? What kind of service groups do you have in the church? And that tells you what you need to build up. What's missing? Then you need to fill that in. So all this is the beginning to help you to have a plan to build up the church. Okay. Where's the gospel right now? Many things. The third thing is that this kind of a planning forces us to set goals. Set goals. You know, the Lord say, for the goal set before me, he endure the cross. Don't tell me the Lord doesn't have a goal. Okay? The Lord has a very, very specific goal. For the goal set, he endure everything. Brothers, if we don't have a goal in the church, how do we endure? We don't even have an objective. We don't even have a projection of what we want and a timetable attached to that. So brothers, we end up being a ship in a sea just drifting, because you don't know what harbor you're going to. You don't know what the next port of call is. You don't care. So it's a drift, just drift. So we end up having a drifting, listless church life, and we think it's okay because we don't know, we don't have a destination. Now, again, I say, brothers, we need to do all these things in prayer by the Spirit, but do not think these things are no need. They are unspiritual. Don't think this way, all right? So we need to set goals. I just had a meeting with the church in Charlotte, and I told them, please, on paper, set goals for 2 years, 5 years, and 10 years. And they went back and they met, I don't know how many hours. I didn't meet with them. They met, I don't know how many hours, to fellowship, to pray, to consider from this angle, from that angle. And they presented to me in numbers. And by looking at them, I could say something to advise them on this or that. But if they didn't do that, we just meet, we just pray, we just say, go on, brothers, and what next? They have new migrants, they have so many more children that they never have, all these things, and they now build that up, and in Charlotte, and so eventually they have a list of 30 items with goals. Whoa, you say, is it that complicated? Well, you don't have to be that complicated. They are quite careful and quite deliberate, and I appreciate that. And also setting goals will force you to consider to prioritize things. You cannot do everything all at once. So each one has his own schedule, you know. So the planning kicks in. The time component of the planning comes in. I'm also telling the GTCA serving brothers now to come up with a 10-year plan. 10-year plan for GTCA. Not just, oops, you know, what next? Nobody thought about it. No, 10-year plan. How many cities we're going to take? How many campuses? Can we really sustain that? Can we raise up that many full-timers? Can we increase that many campus teams? This cannot be just a wish list, right? This must be something thought through and planned. These plans can be changed. They can be adjusted. Of course, they're flexible. But if you don't even have a plan, something there, brothers, we are just treating the church not the way God would treat it. God has a project. It's called his economy. There's a timetable to that. There's a method. It's a plan undertaking, a divine plan undertaking. That's God's economy. And how can we say we don't need that, right? All right. There's another good point of this this kind of plan, because it forces you, allows you to look at what you have, you see, to implement and carry out this plan. Financial resources, human resources, brothers and sisters, and so on. It will inform you and help you in your process of, okay, building the church. You're here building the local church. It will inform you how to do it, how quick you can do it. And every church is different. Every church is different. So, and one last thing I would like to say, this is a real blessing. And when a group of brothers have to come together and pray and fellowship to come up with something like this, goodness, it blends the brothers, brings them into one thought, one mind, on the same page as far as how to go forward in the church. You know, I've seen in some local churches, there's not such a thing. This brother thinks he will do something this week. That brother thinks he would do something the next week. There's no oneness. There's no plan. There's no common goal and objective. Everyone is doing what's right in their eyes. This is elders. Brothers, this kind of exercise harmonizes us. This kind of exercise blends us. It puts us all into the same view and burden for our local church. So I hope these very kind of basic, you know, points would encourage you, brothers, to do this. Now, the implementation, the carrying out, the execution is the building up of your church. The services, the gospel, the truth, you know, the truth. We want to help the saints into the truth, into even reading the life studies. Well, there's got to be a plan. There got to be a way to do that, right? The gospel and the services of the church. We build up the saints in this kind of a way. There's shepherding, there's going to be the care of the saints. There's still many fires we have to fight. Those things will always be present. But we have our eye on the ball. We have an eye on a objective. with a view towards the future. Now, here I want to add one point, and I think it is just to put it in front of you, see how you feel. Well, brothers, we know COVID-19 now is slowly, the vaccination is, we're one of the fastest in all the countries in the world. So more and more people getting vaccinated. I think by now, about 140 to 50,000 people have been vaccinated or at least have one jab. I don't know what that number is, and it's keep going on. And so there's no doubt that the things will open up and more and more in person and this kind of a thing. It will be a process. Every state is different and so on. And but I like to say this. I think two things we need to consider. Number one, a policy, a certain kind of policy. And I don't mean to have something uniformly in every church, but at least your church have to consider policy. Because right now, there are people who are against vaccination. Even some of our saints may be. And some who will not meet until everybody's vaccinated. Do you follow me? There are different opinions. There are maybe some even with some conspiracy theories and all of this kind of stuff. And you do have some senior saints that would not feel they are taking a risk to get the shots. So brothers, what will we do? Well, again, no plan, no nothing. Well, brothers, I feel we need to look at, you know, our California law, right? And your county, whatever. You need to know these things and have some kind of a policy. Now, that policy is not legal, right? That we cannot impose that on anybody. Even the government cannot impose that. But it serves as a guide to the saints. And the saints do look to us. Right now, many churches are slowly getting to in-person meeting already. And many are really going on the two-track, the hybrid track of both Zoom and in-person. So we need to help the saints and not leave them to their own devices. We need to have some kind of a, your church need to have some kind of a policy as a guide, all right, to help the church to go on in how to meet. That's one. And I think we need to do it now. We should be doing already, even during the pandemic, to give the saints some guidance as the situation evolved in society. The second thing is, I feel it's even more than that. I feel, brothers, this pandemic is opening a way for us to have a new kind of church life. A new kind of church life. So don't look at Zoom as something negative, right? This Zoom can be used in a very positive way. I don't think Zoom will go away. I think Zoom is here to stay. I think this Zoom is actually very, very favorable for us, for new ones. You know, it's not easy to get people to our meeting hall. But to come to Zoom, keep the camera off, quite easy to do. And the Zoom allows them to feel us out, to have a low bar of entry, right? To be non-threatening. They're in their comfort zone. And brothers, no wonder a lot of the Zoom gospel meeting, a lot of new ones come that would not come to your step foot in your meeting hall. So I'm just citing that as one example that we need to think hard on how to leverage technology, especially this kind of technology, for our gospel work. And not only for our gospel work, for our care of the saints' work, shepherding work. We can shepherd so many more people by Zoom than in person, for example. So I told one church, don't invest in so many things. If you want to invest money in your meeting hall, invest in a state-of-the-art IT AV system in your meeting hall, so that the saints, even they cannot come to the meeting, they can Zoom in and just like they are there. So rather than a tiny little screen that you use for twice a year for video training, it's a 90-inch screen that you use every week and every meeting, anticipating people meeting from home and people meeting in the hall. And suddenly, this is what some people coin a church without walls. Have you heard of that? Church without walls. Now, the walls is also always going to be here, the brick and mortar. So there's no getting away from that. But now we have a whole new dimension of and a way to meet conveniently for a lot more people. So as we are building up a people center and outward facing church life, brothers, this is a big one. This is a big one, brothers. I know, you know, people right now, they're worrying to go get out of the house and go back to in person. Trust me, that will just be a while and then that will settle down. That's called revenge, you know. People want to revenge. After a while, I tell you, they will go back to what's convenient. I'm saying that all this not to tell you what to do, but I'm saying that all this kind of thing, usually we don't even think about until last minute. And the saints don't even know what we're doing. When we have something like this plan and something that we have a direction and so on, brothers, to me, this is tremendously exciting. The opportunity that is ahead of us post-pandemic. I don't know, I may be crazy, okay? Forgive me if I'm crazy. But this is, brothers, let's turn every crisis into an opportunity. And I think there's a lot here because we're meeting people. You know, your third meeting, you know, now we have a third meeting. Well, brothers, I feel so strongly we need a gateway meeting on Sunday because Sunday is equivalent to church day, okay, in most people's minds. How do we have a meeting that is just outward-facing, with a little ministry of the word, what people call sermon, to give them some basic life, basic truth, gospel, whatever it may be, to gain people. Brothers, we are stuck very much in the way we've been doing things for decades. Can we not have a change? Yes, these are leaves and branches. I agree with you. We will never change the central trunk. But these leaves and branches, why cannot we change to gain people, to make it, you know, to have gates in the walls of the New Jerusalem? So I want to just mention the pandemic matter on these two counts. I hope you would consider that. It's already 6 o'clock, and there's actually one more burden. I better not cover it because of time. So maybe the next time we can talk about it, about perfecting others. But we can talk about that another time. All right. I hope I'm not inundating you with things, but hope it's helpful.
Thank you, Brother Minoru. We do appreciate it. What I got from it is for this planning matter, we have to, number one, make an inventory of what we have in the church, of the people and resources. Number two, we have to set a baseline. That's a meaningful measuring point. Number three, we need to check our progress as we go along to that baseline. Number four, we have to set goals and work toward them. Number five, we need to look at what the results are on the people. And number six, we have to, as we pray and fellowship about these goals, we will be actually blending the brothers together. Concerning the pandemic, we need to plan for a policy, which we can do. A number of churches, including Berkeley, for example, are already looking at the state, county, and local regulations to see what is possible. And a second aspect of that, as he just, Brother Minoru just said, is that we work positively for planning how to have hybrid meetings or anything else that would lead to the saints, and also for gospel outreach. So these are wonderful aspects that we should be following up on. Finally, very quickly, let me remind you of three important things that are coming up right away. Number one is Brother Minoru will speak to us again on Monday night at 7 o'clock. This is our usual first Monday of the month meeting with Brother Minoru. So please plan for that and arrange your schedule, even your Monday night Brothers Fellowship, to be allow for 7 to 8 plus for that. A second matter that we want to mention is to have a, for the Blending Center, the Conference Center, NCCC, we ask you now to start sending, forwarding what offerings or donations you have for it in, because we need that according to the construction will be starting soon. Number three, we are starting with the reading of the life study of Colossians, wonderful short book that reveals Christ more richly than any other book in the New Testament. So that will start again this coming week. So we hope that all the saints will dive in and will encourage that, as Brother Jim has said. So don't forget to pray as you plan. That's very crucial for us being one with the Lord as the one who is the overall head and the real implementer of everything. Okay, if there's no other announcements, we will conclude here. Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, saints. We had almost 100 come, so it's very good. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.